Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. The President's Cancer Panel recommends foods produced without toxic, persistent pesticides and chemical fertilizers. We couldn't agree more. That's why Stonyfield yogurt is always organic yogurt.
Environmentalists have a new weapon in their war on deforestation, poaching of endangered species, and the destruction of animal habitats. Drones. Fleets of small, self-flying airplanes could soon become part of the eco-arsenal. A tropical forest clearing in Sumatra serves as a runway as Leon Pin Ko test flies his conservation drone. Quickly airborne, the drone's cameras capture a bird's-eye view of the dense forest below. But Leon Pin Ko found that some of the test flight landings were rougher than expected. When he's not in Sumatra testing his eco-surveillance plane, Professor Leon Pin Ko teaches ecology and conservation at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. He's co-developer of the conservation drone 1.0 and says the idea of using small self-flying airplanes is really taking off.
So it's basically just a hobby remote control model plane that you can buy from any hobby shop. It has a wingspan of about 1.4 meters. So it's pretty small and it's very compact. We can basically put it in a backpack and carry it around in the forest.
How far does it go and how high does it go?
It can fly for about 20 to 25 minutes, which gives it a range of about 10 to 15 kilometers. And it can be programmed to fly up to maybe about 300 meters above ground.
About 1,000 feet.
Right. But the cool thing about the system is we incorporated an autopilot system into this model airplane, which essentially makes it into a drone.
So this plane flies itself?
Correct. It flies itself autonomously.
So a plane with a brain?
More or less, but with at least two other brains on the ground to make sure it does okay.
So it's the autonomous nature of the plane that you have this software that allows it to fly itself. That's the innovation that you bring to this.
Well, yes, but I should say that the autopilot hardware and software have been developed by a group of online developers and hobbyists. So it is open source software. So what we did was to take this system and apply it to our research area, which is tropical conservation. By strapping a camera on the belly of the plane, you can easily see the plumes of smoke in the horizon. And those could be illegal burning activities that many of the local rangers and forest managers want to be able to control and to keep track of. The other would be taking area photos to produce real-time land cover maps.
What about tracking wild animals?
Yeah, that's the third main purpose of this drone, to be able to count the number of cheetahs or antelopes or elephants, which would be already a huge cost savings, because what's currently being done is that ecologists go on manned aircrafts to try to do those kind of surveys, and that could be very, very expensive. So I should also add that when we began using drones for conservation, we actually decided to first buy a commercial system that cost tens of thousands of dollars. We found that it doesn't really do everything we wanted it to do. And besides, it cost a huge amount of money, which many local conservation workers in the tropics would not be able to afford.
So how much did your system cost?
So our system costs less than $2,000.
Wow.
Including the cameras and the electronics and the plane and the software. Well, the software is open source, of course.
So when you're about to fly this drone, what do? You program it? How do you make it go where you want it to go?
That's very simple. We just basically have to click on waypoints on a Google map. We just upload it to the drone and flick a switch on the radio system and it takes off on its own and goes about its mission. And after it's done with the mission, it flies back to us.
Professor Ko, why not use satellites for imaging the rainforest?
Yeah, we have been using satellites as well, but a couple of problems. One is the cost. And the second reason is because in many parts of the humid tropics, there is a persistent cloud cover. So it's very difficult to get real-time images from a particular location using satellite-based remote sensing.
You know, Professor Koh, have you thought of this, that you're flying this drone over a forest and you hone in on a deforester, someone who's cutting down trees, and they start shooting at the drone and maybe shooting at you?
Actually, being shot at was one of the motivations for developing the drone, too. Being shot at is a big risk of having manned aircrafts flying over forests looking for illegal loggers or poachers. So if the drone gets shot at, it's the drone that goes down, and it's only a $2,000 technology. It's practically disposable compared to a manned aircraft or an ultralight.
Since you've had successful test flights, have environmental groups come to you saying, hey, we could use that?
Yeah, we've got lots of people contacting us, got colleagues from other research institutes asking us to go to Borneo to fly over the rainforest, asking us to go to Africa. And we've even got someone asking us to bring our drones to the Antarctica to film penguins.
Professor Koh, were you the kind of kid, I know I was, who flew model airplanes, all that?
No, I wanted to fly, but we just couldn't afford to buy one of those things in my family. So I'm sort of living my childhood dream now. No, one of my dreams is to be able to develop something that is of real practical use to conservation in the tropics, apart from all the academic work that I'm engaged in, to reach out to the people on the ground who are actually doing conservation.
Is it fun to fly?
Oh, it's very fun. That's just the other reason why we developed the drone.
Well, congratulations, Professor Koh. You've earned your wings.
Oh, thank you very much.
Leon Pinko is a professor of ecology and conservation at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich.